If you have a copy of God's Word, can you join me this morning? We're going to be in Acts chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 16. Again, Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. And it feels good to be back here, up here. I think it's almost been a month since I've been up here, but thank you guys for allowing me to get a little rest and be able to sit with my family and be up under some good preaching the last few weeks. So thank you, church, for allowing me to get a little rest. But I surely miss being up here to be able to preach God's Word, not only to you guys, but also to preach it to my heart. It's not a sermon if you don't preach it to your own self first. And so it's always a joy to be up here and to preach God's Word and proclaim, "Thus says the Lord." Acts chapter 5, look at verse 12 with me. I'm going to be reading from the ESV. "Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord." Let me read that again, verse 14. "And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed." Let us pray and ask the Lord for help us to walk through these verses and see what the Lord is telling us about himself in these verses. Let us pray. Our Father God, thank you, Lord, for allowing us, Lord, to be back together another Lord's Day. Lord, the world hates us. Temptation is all around us. Lust, pride, all these things, Lord, we have to consume every single day. But Lord, today, at this particular time, Lord, you have given us the opportunity, Lord, to sit up under your word, to be with your people, to sing many songs, Lord, that point us back to you. This is a foretaste of heaven, Lord. We thank you for this. We thank you for dying for your bride, for allowing us, Lord, to be here, Lord, to sing these things, to proclaim these things, that your name, Lord, goes to the end of the earth. So, Lord, we ask you to build your church up here today, not knowing what everybody's going through today, but, Lord, we know that, Lord, you are the one that can build us up regardless of our current situation. So, Lord, let your word right now go forth in power. Let your people be edified. Let your people grow in wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord. Let them die to self today. And also for myself here. Let me preach your word faithfully, Lord. Let me preach truth. Let me not draw attention to myself. But, Lord, let the people leave here today and say, "God is good and God is great." Not Creston, but God is great. So, Lord, I ask you to help me. Let your word be clear here today. We thank you, Lord, for all the many things you have done for us and you continue to do for us. In Christ, let me pray. Amen. We must be ready to commit long term in the care of the body of Christ. These were believers that did not dare to join the apostles, but the Lord still used them, bringing others to him. And we're going to learn that these guys, these believers, they wouldn't dare join the apostles. I mean, you got to think about what has happened in the last few weeks with you hearing how God just judged Ananias and Sapphira. But now we're reading right here this true boldness in the sense of these apostles. And this group is saying, "We dare not join them." We have learned. Give me just a moment here. Got a little situation. We have just learned the last few months in the book of Acts of the work of Christ and the lives of these apostles. How the death of Christ did not stop his ministry. Many try to suggest that Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But the appropriate title for the Acts we see is the Acts of Jesus through the apostles. This Acts of the Holy Spirit is kind of problematic. Have you heard that before? The book of Acts, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of problematic. It comes off saying that the Spirit is working in Acts, but not in the Gospels or even in the Old Testament. But we know that the Spirit existed in eternity past with the Father. The Spirit was right there at creation when God the Father and the Son worked together in creating and forming this world. So the Spirit didn't come into existence in the New Testament. The Spirit existed in eternity past. And the Spirit also in Isaiah talks, and even in Isaiah talks about this coming of the Spirit. So the Spirit didn't make his entrance in the world until Pentecost. A lot of people assume that Pentecost, now the Spirit comes down. The Spirit always existed. The Spirit was working all throughout the Old Testament to bring about the Messiah. So the Spirit has been working throughout history. But the Spirit does in the book of Acts points to us to the apostles. Not just to the apostles, but Christ working through these apostles. The Spirit empowered the apostles to do the things that Christ was doing in his ministry. We have seen this in every chapter so far in Acts. Acts chapter 1. The apostles waited to be commissioned out as Jesus was waited and to be commissioned out when he was baptized by John the Baptist. So the apostle was waiting there in Acts 1. They were waiting for the Spirit to come to empower them to commission them out. Then we learn in chapter 2 how the Spirit came down upon the apostles. Yeah, they spoke in tongues, but what were they saying in those tongues? They were speaking about the great works of God. They weren't just using Bible language. They were using real language. They were speaking in the language that we know that the Egyptians were speaking in. Though that they were speaking in Arabia. All these languages they were speaking in Pentecost, and they all were saying the same thing, which is the mighty works of God. So the Spirit comes down, and the mighty works of God is proclaimed. And the same thing with Jesus. When the Spirit came down in his baptism, this actually, in a sense, of stamp that this is the true Son of God. That Jesus Christ, the true Son of God, and at this moment right here, that Jesus now has given this approval from the Father that now he can go forward with his ministry. Acts chapter 3. The apostles healed the sick after they was commissioned by the Spirit. And after Jesus was actually commissioned by the Spirit. Yes, he was tempted, but right after he got through the temptation, he went out to places of Nazareth and different places, healing the sick. Do y'all see the parallel here? To what Jesus is doing and what the apostles is doing. So the writer here in the book of Acts is Luke. Luke is letting us know that the gospel is continually going. You thought you killed Christ, but his ministry is still working through these apostles. Then Acts chapter 4. The apostles were arrested. But we know that Jesus was arrested. And Jesus was arrested for teaching the truth of the Father. Now the apostles were arrested for teaching the truth of the Father and the Son. Do you guys see this parallel here? In Acts chapter 5. The apostles were betrayed by Ananias and Sapphira. And we learned about Jesus was betrayed by Judas. And that's why we see in Acts. Acts is continuation of the ministry of Christ through his apostles. And that's the amazing thing is that Jesus, he died for his bride, his church, his beautiful church. And he asked the church to look like him. So you ask yourself the question that, hey, I believe in Jesus. I walked down the aisle. I confessed when I was 2 years old. When I was 1 year old, I confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Or if I was 8 years old, family, when you said you wanted to follow Jesus, you said you're ready to leave everything else behind. And these apostles, Peter, I mean, y'all remember that brother in the Gospel of Mark and Matthew? Peter denied Jesus 3 times. He was terrible. Peter was all over the place. He doubted God over and over. But we see right here, when the Spirit got a hold to him, we see a different Peter, don't we? We see a Peter ready to die, deny self and truly follow Jesus. And that's the requirement to be a true believer, is to deny self, take up your cross and follow Jesus. It's not going to be easy. Yes, we want attention from people. We want the world to see us at times. And some of us say, no, I don't. It's rooted into our flesh. Our flesh wants the attention of the world. But Jesus said, you must die, deny self and follow me. And that's what these apostles are doing. They leave things behind to follow Jesus. And guess what Jesus did? Jesus was tempted just like all of us in this room. He was tempted in every single way that we were tempted. Jesus was tempted. But guess what? Jesus was trusting in his Father, and Jesus prevailed through it all. And Jesus tells us that we can do it too. We can prevail by trusting in him and trusting in the Spirit and trusting in the Son. And today's test will not be any different. The today's test is the same thing that's happened, the continuation of the gospel. We're going to see it here today as well. So let's jump right to it. We're going to do it in 3 points. The apostle heroic boldness at Solomon Portico. Verse 12. Point number 2. The people were amazed by the boldness of the apostle in verse 13. And the last point is going to be, even when we are not bold, God's grace compels us to be bold. Verses 14 and 16. If I can title this, I would say, are the apostles' boldness unique? Let's jump to point number 1. The apostles' heroic boldness at Solomon Portico. Verse 12. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together here, we see here, at Solomon Portico. One person said the portico was on the east side of the temple. And Josephus says it was part of the original structure of Solomon. When Babylon came to Jerusalem, they sacked the city. They burned down most of the temple. And if you go to Israel today, anybody ever been to Israel? If you go to Israel, on the side of the temple, you still have these massive stones there. And these massive stones were part of the original temple before they was knocked down, before the actual 70 AD or actually during the time of the Babylonians. But the only thing was standing, and you guys ever seen on the news, y'all ever seen the, you know, some Jews is going back and forth doing this? They're praying on the Western Wall. That's the last standing wall, actually the official temple that Solomon built. So that wall right there to the Jews is very sacred to them. So this would be a place that right here that they wouldn't allow any foolishness to take place. They would consider this wall as the most important landmarker within Judaism. So it was a sacred place for the Jews. And we learn in Matthew 10:23 that Jesus was at Solomon Portico. And I keep saying the word portico. We could put it in our terms, Solomon porch. And many Jews came to him. We found out Jesus in Matthew 10:23. And we saw in Acts 3 that Peter spoke at Solomon porch as well. And told the Jews that they killed the author of life. And now we see again that the apostles are at Solomon porch. So Jesus was there proclaiming in the sense of his Father's kingdom. Peter was on Solomon porch, proclaiming God's kingdom, and told him that they killed the author of life. Now we find out here that the apostles are here again at Solomon porch. It's not like the apostles are trying to rub it in, right? Like, hey, I'm coming on y'all stumping ground. I mean, like, they trying to rub it in on them. I mean, this is like the second time we're here from Acts 3, now we're at 5, they're at Solomon porch again. And this time they're doing signs and wonders. And the glimpse of this in verse 15 in our test today. So that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by it, at least his, when Peter came. So they came and brought these sick people to them, and they was healed, and many signs and wonders were taking place. The apostles were healing and doing the mighty works of God. So after Jesus was anointed by the Father in baptism, then he was tempted in the wilderness. After that, it tells us about the works of Jesus in Matthew 4. Listen to this in Matthew 4, verse 23 to 25. It's very similar to what was happening right here with the apostles at Solomon Porticles. Listen to this. And he went out, Jesus, went out throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures, and paralytic, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. Does that sound familiar? That sounds just like what we just read in Acts. What Jesus done right here, now the apostles are doing it. After Jesus was anointed, he was tempted, then he performed these miracles. And it's the parallel with these apostles. In Acts chapter 3, what happened to them? They got arrested. They were tempted. They were told not to say anything else about this Christ. Deny Christ, even for Jesus. Deny the Father, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. But Jesus tells them again, man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out the mouth of God. Jesus prevailed. And even the apostles, when they was arrested, they stopped. They didn't stop preaching the gospel. They didn't stop because of what man said to them. They were bold because their boldness came from Christ himself. They stayed faithful to Christ and was released. And it tells us here today that they did the same signs and miracles here today. And we see the same boldness here for them being on Solomon's porch. The apostles are being bold like their master, Jesus Christ. They're not afraid of what man can do to them. Their minds are fixed on Jesus Christ. 1 John tells us in verse 6, whoever say he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. It tells us in John 17, verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but they keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. The apostles are continuing the works of Jesus because of their union in Christ. Family, one way we know if you're a true Christian, you abide in Christ. If you're truly in Christ, you do the things of Christ, which is love your neighbor, submit to the Father. Not this in the sense of the continuation of the spiritual gifts, in the sense of that we can go around and go to the hospital and touch every hospital bed. If we can touch all the hospital beds, we have the same power that Jesus has, this and that. We can shut down JRMC and all the rest of the hospitals thing. This is not what he's talking about. When he's talking about doing mighty works than him, it wasn't saying that we're going to be stronger than Christ. But what we're going to do that Christ didn't do, we're going to be able to take his gospel to regions and areas that Christ didn't travel to. We're going to be able to take his gospel to places and everything that haven't heard the gospel. We're going to look like Christ. We're not going to look like the world. That should be a true marker. And we're going to talk about this next week, even with evangelism. The true marker of evangelism, the true way of evangelism, is living your life like Christ. Obedient to the Father. Not for you to ask them questions, but for them to ask you questions. We have got evangelism so backwards. People should come to us and ask us of the hope that is in us. They saw how I love my wife, how my wife loves her husband. They saw how I'm on time at work every single day. So the world, in the sense of, they see how we carry ourselves, and they come to us and ask us, is something different about you? But why they don't come to us? Are we living a double life? It's so easy to share the gospel when people don't have to see who how you live. But when somebody get in your life, they know how you're living, it's kind of hard to share the gospel to them because they don't want to listen to you. But if you truly live in a life honoring to Christ, and they see you are submitted to Christ, they're more likely to ask you a question. Man, life is just so difficult, but it seems like you do so well with this life. It seems like you're not frustrated at work when your boss and everything get on your nerves. And your family members. I'm telling y'all what, family are the ones who get up on your skin the most, can't you? But the amazing thing about it, though, is that it's so amazing that every single moment we see, even the Hebrews talk about this, that we should be ready to give the people the hope that's within us of Christ Jesus, because how we carry our lives, because we're mirroring Christ. And that's what the apostles are doing here. Since they are mirroring the life of Christ, Christ's name is proclaimed. We also have a responsibility again to continue to minister to Christ, also in proclamation of the gospel. But that wasn't the only thing that the apostles did that mirrored Christ. They also died to self. If we want to mirror Jesus, we must take up our cross again and follow Jesus. We must not be enslaved to the idols of this world, but we must be conformed to Christ daily. And family, that's tough. It's hard every single day. I'm looking at a couple of y'all right now. I know a couple of y'all got it figured out. I don't have it figured out. Every single day is difficult, fam. Let me be honest. Every single day is difficult because the world is coming at you every single morning. But we must be bold. We must be submitted to Christ. We must trust Christ at every single moment of our lives. The world hate Christ, church, and the hair of the world will hate you. But the thing about it, a lot of us want to sit at that table, don't we? We want to put Christ to the side and sit at the table. We want to embrace the world. It was so sad this past week. I just heard a interview with Lecrae. It was just so depressing hearing how Lecrae responded to those questions. How he was just so bold on everything else. And they asked him some questions and everything about his walk and things of that nature, about his Christian life and everything now. And from 9 to 10 years ago, how bold he was that he's not ashamed of the gospel. But now, after hearing that interview, you can tell he's so ashamed of the gospel. But this is not Lecrae, that's us too. That's just not him, that's us. A lot of times we proclaim the gospel when it's convenient for us. But when somebody makes us mad, we're going to show our wrath, right? We're going to say, let me say what's on my mind. And I ask the Lord for forgiveness later. He's going to forgive us. No, we are ashamed of the gospel in that moment. But in the midst of that, those trials, we proclaim the Christ. We proclaim His goodness. So the apostles continue his ministry. They live a life before Christ. Point number two. The people were amazed by the boldness of the apostles. Verse 13. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Now see that the people were amazed by the apostles' boldness. You got to think about it. These guys are bold. These guys are at Solomon's porch proclaiming the great works of God. This reminds me of 2002. Before some of y'all time, 2002, I'm showing my age. In 2002, when Dalloway played Washington Chapel in basketball. And Dalloway pretty good this year. I think Washington Chapel was probably 4A. Dalloway was 3A. Washington Chapel was the biggest school. But Tampa had a lot of good athletes come out. And Dalloway had a lot of good athletes come out over time as well. But they would never put Dalloway on the schedule with Washington Chapel. And so Dalloway cried over and over, hey, we want to play Chapel. that all of a sudden this particular year, they put Dalloway and Chapel on the same schedule of basketball that year. And so the game was actually played at Watson Chapel Gymnasium. It was crowded on both sides. Police was everywhere. And Dalloway had been waiting for years for this game. And it was just crazy packed. I mean, they was talking trash on both sides. People fighting in the parking lot. It was just intense and everything. A couple of y'all faces look familiar that was in the parking lot. But all of a sudden, it was a good game. But that game, Dalloway got the best of Watson Chapel. Dalloway beat Watson Chapel on their own turf. And Dalloway got so prideful, they even got the bumper stickers, and they put them on all the backboard of Chapel, Watson Chapel game. After the game was over, they went to their backboard and started slamming Dalloway Cardinals stickers on all the backboards. And so that was ultimate disrespect, wasn't it? How can you go on their turf and actually put their actual school logo on their turf? You don't go to someone's court and put stickers on their backboard. Or the famous scene you guys remember with Terrell Owens. When he played on the 40 play for the 49ers. And he scored a touchdown. And after he scored a touchdown, he went into the middle of the field and Dallas Cowboys star. He actually stood on the middle of that star in the middle of the field. Like that was his actual home game. And when the Cowboy player rushed him on the field. You don't go to somebody else's turf and actually try to dominate. Well, this is what's happening here with these Jews. This is their home court. Solomon Porch is where it goes down at. If you're not a true Jew and proclaiming the things, the laws and all the Levitical laws and everything there with the Pharisees and Sadducees, you better not show up over there. You better not come over to talk about you a Christian. But we see right here that the apostles did anyway. They went to the Jews' turf to proclaim the words of God. And what did the people, how did they respond? The people that followed the apostles, they dare not join them. They said, hey, we believe what y'all talking about. We ain't finna go up there. We saw what happened to Jesus. We saw what happened to other folks that didn't go along with Judaism. We not finna join y'all. We believe what y'all saying, but we not finna go up there with y'all. I'm pretty sure the people, man, like, man, that past this popcorn, man, it's gonna go down. I mean, these actual apostles, they at Solomon Porch talking about Christ. Hey, pass that popcorn, man. It's gonna go down for real. All these apostles about to get beat up, they about to get arrested, some of them finna die. We ain't finna get up there. But the thing about it, the apostles wasn't worried. They wasn't afraid of man. They remember the words of Jesus. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill the body, both body and soul, forever. They wasn't scared of man. They were ready to suffer Christ, and they saw it as an honor to suffer for Christ. The people held the apostles to high esteem, like these guys are very bold, very bold. But they wouldn't dare to join them. They missed out on seeing that it was an honor to actually suffer with Christ. So boldness, family, shouldn't be unique just to the apostles. Boldness shouldn't be unique only to Jesus. Where is our boldness? It's a God that actually holds the world together. The God that is sovereign over all creation. The God that truly does good to us, that gives us the Spirit that's in us. Why aren't we bold? I take that back. Why are we only bold when it's convenient for us? When everything is going well, when there's no persecution, when nobody's gossiping about us, when nobody's talking about us, we are bold in Christ. But what happens when somebody says something to get up under our skin, we put that boldness to the side and we tell people like it how it is. Christ wants us to be consistent and be faithful at every single moment of our lives, even when it's actually times when we're uncomfortable. Because what it shows us? The uncomfortable times shows us our true heart. It shows us who we really are in the mirror. We can look in the mirror and we can say all these things about ourselves. We can say and try to convince ourselves. But when we truly look in that mirror, we see who we really are. And that's what God does. When trials come our way, when temptation come our way, God reveals that we're not as mature as we think we are. We don't have it all figured out. We're not as bold as God has called us to be. And I'm not preaching a perfect life of Christians. But a Christian that hates those things that they used to enjoy. As Christian, we might mess up on being bold at times. We might fall into temptation, but we hate our sins. That's the difference. We all mess up in this room. But one thing about it, we weep over our sins. We hate that we sin against our God. So boldness is not wearing your favorite Jesus t-shirt or posting Bible verses on social media. Boldness is living a life in submission to Christ at every moment of your lives. It is to be bold to evangelize in our community. But it also to be bold not to give in to sin before your peers. Boldness is a mark of a true believer. By being bold, you lose friends. A lot of us ain't lost any friends because we're still doing the same thing they do. But true boldness, you're going to lose friends. I'm not saying to everybody to just befriend everybody you know. But for the sense of, you're not going to do the same things that you used to do anymore. Those things don't draw your affections anymore. You love other things now. Your allegiance now to Christ, not the things of this world, brings to our last and final point. Even when we're not bold, God's grace compels us to be bold. We just learned how the people dared not to join the apostles. But we see in verses 14 and 16, the church continued to grow. That doesn't sound right. Hey, you guys wasn't bold, but the church is growing. Let me read 14 through 16 again. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the town around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they all were all healed. It seems as if God would judge them. It seems like God would say, hey, y'all weren't bold with me now. I'm trying to bring your cousins over here to get healed. Why you bring your cousins and your folks now? You don't want to join me during this time. It doesn't tell us that, does it? It said the church continued to grow. We see the opposite here. The church grew like crazy here. They were bringing so many people to them, the sick. And even they were even wanting Peter to follow over, to fall on them so that they could be healed. Again, it wasn't Peter that was healing. It was Jesus working through these apostles. It wasn't about Peter's shadow. It wasn't something so unique about Peter. But it was the Messiah that was leading Peter. So family, again, we must be ready to commit long term in the body of Christ. These were believers that did not dare to join the apostles, but the Lord still used them to bring others to him. And for these doubters right here that didn't want to join them, God's mercy is still greater than their doubt. So family, look up. Even in your failures, God's grace is more. Even in your shortcomings, God's grace is more. That's the purpose of the cross. You're not going to get it right. And the beautiful thing about it, you can't grow a church anyway. Your character doesn't grow a church. Christ grows his church regardless. Even in your shortcomings, Christ will still grow his church. And that's what we see here in this text. Even in their shortcomings, Christ continued to grow the church. We must not be quick to hammer one another down. To beat one another down in the sense that you're not in the faith. You're not in the faith because you get something wrong. We all going to get something wrong. We all are.
If that's the case, nobody's in the face.
But we see here, this picture here, that even though when they fell short, Christ's grace was so much more. We must be long-suffering, family, and allow the mercy and the grace to reign. And may the Lord use kindness. As some brother or sister falls short, may our kindness and our love for them draw them back. We don't have to be the spiritual police. But what we can do, we can draw them back with compassion and love and delicacy and the sense of how we care for one another. And that's what Jesus done here in this text. And the apostles done here in this text. They got things wrong, but God didn't turn his back on them. He loved them through it. And that's what we call to do as a church. And that's what we do here in the covenant end here at Christ Redeemer Church. As you join this church, we're committing our lives together. We're giving our lives for one another daily. And that's what we see in the early church. They gave to one another daily. That no one was lacking on anything. They care for one another. And we should do the same thing when a brother goes astray. A sister goes astray. We should be quick to love them through it all. Is it some people difficult to love at times? Yes. We still are called command to love them. The Lord should compel us to love those that are weak. We should be bold. And by Christ compelling us to love those, they can compel us to be bold in other times. As I end here, I'm going to read the verses again, and I believe a couple of verses I want to read here about boldness and trusting in Christ. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Family, the Lord is patient towards us. We must be patient towards one another. As a pastor, I'm going to get things wrong. I need your patience. I need your forgiveness. I need it all and things of that nature, because I'm not going to get everything right. I'm not going to stand up here like I got everything figured out. I need you to be patient with me. I need to be patient with you. Matter of fact, we need to be patient with each other, because Christ is patient towards us. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, it tells us, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoings, but rejoices with truth. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hope all things, endure all things. Family, that's true love. Love bear with one another. And the last verse I want to mention is Ephesians 4, 2 through 3. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bear one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of spirit and the bond of peace. Family, as we have the unity and the patience and the love and the bond of peace, may they compel us to be bold, but also may they compel unbelievers to see that something has happened to us, that God has done a work in our heart. And for those of you here that are not believers and probably don't understand anything I said the last 30 or 40 minutes, or let Sharon tell you I might have been preaching for about an hour. If you don't understand anything that I just mentioned the last 30 or 45 minutes or an hour, let me make it plain to you here. Is that the reason why you don't understand what's taking place here, and if you are an unbeliever, is because you are blind to these things. You are hostile towards these things. It's that God sent his only son, the Father sent his only son, Jesus. We were called to live a perfect, righteous life, but we all have sinned before God. We have told God that we didn't want his way, we wanted our own way. We all have sinned and fell short of God's glory. And God said, no one is righteous, no, not one. We all stand guilty before God. Kids, listen up, all kids, listen up. We all stand guilty before God. As you disobey your parents, you disobey the Lord. And you stand guilty before God. And God will punish sin.
He will punish sin. But God in His goodness sent His only Son to take our sins for us. He takes our sin. He takes our place. We deserve to be put to death, but Jesus takes our place. And by taking our place, our sins are given to Jesus, and He gives us righteousness, and we give eternal life, and we boast about what Jesus has done for us. You don't have to pave your own way. You don't have to say, Mommy and Daddy, look what I've done. You don't have to say, Sister or Brother, look what I have done. You can say that look what Jesus has done. He has lived the life that we have called to live, a perfect righteous life. Put your faith in Jesus, not in yourself. In yourself will lead you right to hell. You put your faith in Jesus. All these actors and everything else, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself, they will say. But look what self has gotten us. Look what self has gotten us. We love it. We are made in God's image. Yes, we love ourselves and love what God has made. But look what Christ has done for us. We look to Jesus as the author of life, the one that gives true salvation. So for those of here today, don't leave this place today without putting your trust in Christ. Put your trust in Christ Jesus right now. He has paved the way for you. Then at that moment, as Christ brings you to life, a dead person to life, then all what I just said, you can listen to it again, then it starts making sense. Let us pray. Our Father God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we have not been bold at times. We all have fell short at times. But Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Even when we fall short, Lord, you have been good to us. So Lord, help us be bold, Lord, when it's at difficult times. But Lord, let us turn to you, Lord, when we're not bold, Lord, when we fall short, let us turn to you, Lord, for strength, Lord, and for wisdom. And for those that are here today, Lord, that is not trusting in you, I pray that, Lord, they turn to you today and they put their faith into you today, Lord, and you alone. In Christ, let me pray. Amen. Let's give a few seconds. Just bow your head and just think about what was said. How can we all honor Christ during these times? So let's spend a few moments just thinking about what was said the last few moments.